We are holding on the bottom of Lamed Ches and Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. We are in the middle of explaining, or we're giving several explanations of what seems like a stira in the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. On the one hand, the Mishnah talks about the Nechasim of a Shomeres Yavam. So the Mishnah talks about it on two levels. First, when she's alive, and then when she's dead. So there seems to be a stira, because when she's alive, the Shita of the Beis Shammai is Mocheres V'Nosenes V'Kayim. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree. Even Beis Shammai would hold that she could do whatever she wants with them. She's in full control. But then when she dies, you would imagine if she's in full control, then the Nechasim should go to her father's family. It shouldn't go to her husband's family, to the Yavam's family. Yet Beis Shammai holds that when she dies, Yachloku, that the Yorshei HaBaal and Yorshei HaAv have to divide it. So we had that stira. Which is it? Is it that it's in her possession, or is it not in her possession? Yesterday we had the first two approaches to understanding that stira in the Mishnah. Today we're going to have two more. We're going to have Abaye, and we're going to have Rava, and we're going to compare and contrast the shittos of Abaye and Rava. Then the Gemara is going to move on to discuss what it means when we say that if a guy does yibum, then she's ki'ishto l'chol davar. They right away become the wife, that she's absolutely his wife, and what the Hava Mina would have been, meaning not only what that means, but why we would have thought otherwise. And then the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph is going to discuss the rule that mitzvah begadol liyabim, and that's going to take us pretty much through the rest of the daf. The idea that the mitzvah of yibum falls primarily on the oldest of the brothers, and we're going to discuss, what about if the oldest of the brothers only wants to do chalitza, one of the younger brothers wants to do yibum, do we still say it's better for the older brother to do? And then the second version of the machlokas, what if no one wants to do yibum? Is it a mitzvah begadol to do chalitza also, or is that only a mitzvah in yibum? And then we're going to talk about in general whether mitzvahs yibum or mitzvahs chalitza is better, especially bizman hazeh. Would we still say mitzvahs yibum is better? That's going to bring us into a machlokas tanaim, abishalan, and the rabbanan. That's going to take us well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin two lines from the bottom, lamed ches amud beis, again dealing with the stira in our Mishnah about shitas beis shammai. What is the status of the nechasim of the shomeres yavam? Is it hers or is it not hers? So Abaye Amar Reisha Denafla Kshi Shomeres Yavam Sefer Denafla Kshi Tacht of Debal, that the Reisha is talking about when she first gets the Yerusha, she's already a Shomeres Yavam. Her husband has already died and she's awaiting Yibum. And in that situation, that's the Reisha, she's in full control of those nechasim. But the Sefer is talking about where the nechasim came to her while she was still married to the first husband. The Kasavar Abaye Yado Ki Yada. And Abaye holds that the yad of the husband is the same as her yad, meaning that when she gets a Yerusha while she's still married, she and her husband have equal rights in that property. That's how Beis Hillel would understand. So Beis Hillel holds Nechasim B'Cheskasim, because when she's married, when she's in the Suwa, she and her husband are equal partners in the possessions, in the property that she receives, B'Yerusha. So when the husband dies and her relationship with the Yavam is clearly just a Zika relationship, it's not as strong as a relationship with a real husband, so now his hand in those nechasim is going to be a little bit weaker than the husband's hand was, and therefore Beis Hillel holds nechasim b'cheskasa. She could do whatever she wants with it. But Beis Shammai would say, and the Gemara doesn't spell any of this out, but the Rashi fills it in. The way Abaye understands is that Beis Shammai would hold that you also go one level down from the Yavam's rights in her properties are one level down from what the husband's rights in her property was. What was the husband's rights in her property? According to the Beis Shammai, Nesua Yado Adifa Miyada, that the husband had greater rights in her property than she did when they were married. Now that she falls to the Yavam, so it goes one level down, where now they have equal rights. And that's why in the Sefer, Beis Shammai says, Yachloku, that the Yorshei Av and Yorshei Abal have to split it because they have equal rights in the property. It always goes just one level down. Amar Le Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, No, if she got this Yerusha, she received these Nechasim while she was still married to the first husband, then everyone would agree that Yado Adifa Miyada, that the husband's the husband has the upper hand. He has more of a right in the nechasim than she does, and therefore, when you would fall to yibum, it would be split. That's not what's going on in our Mishnah. Our entire Mishnah is when she receives the Yerusha while she's already a Shomeres Yavam, when she's not still married to the first husband. What's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? So here's Rava's fourth approach to understanding our Mishnah. Reisha delo avad ba maimer. The Reisha, we're talking about a case where the Yavam never did maimer on her. So he never created that connection of maimer. And that's where the Beis Shammai is going to say she retains full control over the Nechasim. But Seifa David ba maimer, the Seifa is talking about where he did maimer. So he made a move to show that he's going to be koneser, that he's going to marry her, and therefore he regains a level of control over those Nechasim. The maimer accomplishes something. The Kasava Rava holds maimer lebe Shammai osa vade arusa v'safik nesua. The maimer actually does something according to Beis Shammai, even on a daraisa level. It makes her a vadai arusa to the Yavam, and a Suffolk Nesua. What does that mean? Vaday Arusa Lidchos Bitzara. It makes her a Vaday Arusa to push away any Tzara, which would mean if another one of the brothers was married to her sister, and after the Mimer was done, another one of the brothers dies. So now her sister faces a Zika. We don't say that it's a Achos Ishto and it's an Erva. No, we say that she's. I'm sorry. We don't say that they're both, that it's two sisters that are both Nofel Yibim at the same time, and therefore we don't do Yibim on either one of them. We say that he's already married to this first one that he did Maimer on, and therefore the other one is an Erva, and he has no Zika with the other one. He has no connection whatsoever with the other one. According to Beis Shammai, Maimer does that. Maimer accomplishes on a daraisa level. It actually pushes away any potential tzara. V'safik nesua, in what sense does Maimer make her like a safik nesua? Lachlok b'nechasim, that he's going to be able to divide the nechasim, meaning that if she dies, the Yorshei HaBaal and Yorshei HaAv split the nechasim between them. And that's the explanation of our Mishnah, that the Reish is talking about when there was no Maimer, and therefore she retains full rights over her nechasim, and the Seif is talking about where there was Maimer, and therefore they split the nechasim. Now the truth is, if you think about it, the whole difference then is whether there was Maimer or not. It has nothing to do with whether she's alive or whether she's dead, but the Mishnah changes the case from the Reisha to the Seifa. The Reisha was while she was alive, and the Seifa was while she was dead, but that's really irrelevant. So the Gemara is going to bring up that point shortly. Itmar Mishmed Rabbi Lazar Kavase de Rava. Rabbi Lazar learned our Mishnah like Rava. Itmar Mishmed Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Kavase de Abaye. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina learned like Abaye. Umiyam Rabbi Lazar Hachi, does Rabbi Lazar really say like Rava? Meaning, does Rabbi Lazar really understand that Beis Shammai holds that Maimer works on a Daraisa level to make a Vaday Arusa and a Safik Nesua? V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Maimer le Beis Shammai enu kona lidchos b'tzara b'lvad. But didn't Rabbi Lazar teach us that Beis Shammai holds Maimer only works to do the Vaday Arusa part, but not the Safik Nesua part? It only works to get rid of Itzara. It doesn't work at all in terms of Yerusha. Says Gemara, you're right. Epoch, when we're saying who holds like who, we have to assume that Rabbi Lazar is the one that holds like Abaye and not like Rava, and it's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanino holds like Rava and not like Abaye. Or maybe not. Maybe we don't have to switch it. Maybe Rabbi Lazar could even be the one that holds like Rava. Amalecha Rabbi Elazar, ki amri anad lo sagi la biget, el debayi na michalitza, lachlok bin chasin lo kani mi amri. He said, all I meant to say when I said that Maimer le Beis Shammai is only Kona to be docha the tzara, all I meant to say is that she's not going to, that a get would be insufficient. She's going to require chalitza as well, even after you've done maimer. You might think, okay, I've done maimer, so that's a maisa kiddushin. The way to undo a kiddushin is with a get. I shouldn't require chalitza anymore. This is no longer a yibum situation. No, you still need a chalitza. But Rabbi Lazar was never discussing what the dini mamonis element is going to be. He was only discussing the issues of the Eben Ezer issues, the Yibam Chalitza issues, the Ishus issues. That's where he says that all Maimer does is docha, is to be docha the tzara. But in Achinami, Maimer might also do something in terms of Dine Mamanis as well. It might have an impact on the Dine Mamanis. He just wasn't discussing that topic. So Rabbi Lazar could very well agree with Rava that it makes her a Safek Nesua, Legabi the Dine Mamanis, Legabi her Nechasim. Amrav Papa diyukad masnis and kavasi da Abaye, v'afagav de kasha mesa. Rav Papa points out that our Mishnah fits with Abaye, even though mesa is difficult according to Abaye. So what does he mean by that? The Katani, the Mishnah says, nechasim ha-nechnasim va-yotzim ima. We're talking about nechasim, that are the properties that go in and out with her. May nechnasim ma-yotzim. What do you mean, go in and go out? So, lav nechnasim l'rashus ha-baal, v'yotzim l'rashus ha-baal l'rashus ha-av. Doesn't nechnasim mean that they go into the rashus ha-baal, and yotzim mean that they go out from the rashus ha-baal to the rashus ha-av? So, that would fit very well with Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah, that it was that we're talking about nechasim that were nafla kashi hitachtav, that she received while she was still married to the first husband. So that's why we're talking about nechasim that were in the possession of the husband, and then the husband died, so now they're out of the possession of the husband, in the possession of the father. So that works very well if you assume that the husband was in the picture when these nechasim came to her. V'yaflagav dekasha mesa. What does he mean when he says v'yaflagav dekasha mesa? That mesa is a problem according to Abaye. Ademiflugi begufa ula achar mesa liflugu bechayel leperos. Instead of arguing about the actual guf hanachasim after she dies, why don't we have the machlokes beisham beisila about the peros of these nechasim while she's still alive? Vesula midi, and that's it. That's what Rav Papa meant. That the Mishnah is meduyak like Abaye, even though the word mesa doesn't seem to fit, or the fact that the Mishnah sets up a case of mesa doesn't seem to fit so well according to Abaye. As I pointed out before, it doesn't seem to fit so well according to Rava either. Meaning, lechori, you wouldn't have had to say mesa either. I didn't get a chance to look around. I was misremembering the Gemara, that the Gemara only brings that up within Shitas Abaye, not within Shitas Rava. I didn't get a chance to look around to see what they say, why we don't bring that issue up within Rava's case. Okay. Oh, I just see over here now in the Masif, they said the Rishonim argue whether the Kasha that Rava asks in Labed Chesem Beis, Ademiflugi Begufa, Lachar Misa, Liflugu Bechaya Leperos, is a Kasha on Rava as well. And the Ramban and the Rashba write that in Achinami, it's a Kasha on Rava as well. But Tosos in Dibra Maskal Alpha Gav says that according to Rava, it's not a Kasha. Kafisha Mashma Bipashtus Begemara Shakushi Labaye, because our Gemara is a Raya that it's not a Kasha on Rava, because our Gemara says that the word Mesa is problematic to Abaye. It's not problematic to Rava. Why is it not problematic to Rava? Because Dafka la'achar misa, that Mimer helps to be cholik ben nechasim according to Beis Shammai. But Mechayim, he never thought that it would be vaday, and that he never meant to say that Mimer would help. Shehi vaday veheim suffix. So that's how he understands that Mesa would not be an issue. That's why we Dafka have to set it up as a case of Mesa, that it's Dafka la'achar misa, that Mimer helps to be cholik ben nechasim. But it also apparently has some sort of explanation. Okay, but that certainly has to be dealt with, why Mesa is only an issue in our Gemara according to Abaye and not according to Rava. Kansa harehi kishto l'chal davar. The Mishnah had said that once he does Yibum, then she's his wife. Then she's completely his wife. L'may hilchsa, what do you mean she's completely his wife? What halachic ramifications does that have? Amar b'yosi b'rab chanina lomar shemegar shabeget u'machzira. If he ever wants to no longer be married to her, he has to give her a get. And if he ever wants to remarry her again after that, he can remarry her again after that. That's totally fine. Just like a regular wife, a man is allowed to divorce and remarry so long as the man's not a Kohen. Megarsha beget, pshita. The fact that you divorce her with a get, what else would you divorce her with? Isn't that obvious that once you do Yibum, the only way to get rid of her is by giving a get? I might have thought, that since the Pasuk says, you take her for a wife and you do Yibum, that would mean that the original Yibum is always in place, that we always view her as a Yavama, and we never actually view her entirely as a regular wife, and therefore b'chalitza in beget lo, the way to sever the bond is by doing chalitza and not by giving a get, kamash malah, and therefore comes to tell me that that's not so. Machzira pshita, frankly Gemara, and isn't it obvious though that if you did give her a get, that you're allowed to remarry her? Why wouldn't you be allowed to remarry her? Well, salka dait chamina mitzvah derami rachman alei avda, hasha tekem alei b'sreishasach. I might have thought that he had a mitzvah to do called Yibum. He did that mitzvah, and now that mitzvah is over, she goes back to being a plain old Eshesach, and an Eshesach is an Erva. Kamashmulan therefore comes to tell me that no, that once he does Yibum, she's his wife, she's no longer his brother's wife. So now you no longer view her as Eshesach. Frak the Gemara, Ve'emach Hinami. Why not? It sounds like a good svara that she should go back to being Eshesachiv. Amakra lukacha lo liisha kivan shalakha hareu ki ishto lechol davar. Once he does yibam on her, she becomes, the pasuk is being mechadesh lo liisha. She becomes for him a wife, a regular wife, just like any other wife, where he has the ability to divorce her and remarry her. However, the only difference between this and a regular wife is that normally when a man gets married, he's responsible for the ksuba. When a man does yibum, the estate of his deceased brother is responsible for the ksuba. He personally is not responsible for the ksuba. Isha hiknu lo min hashamayim. He's not responsible for the ksuba because he received a wife min hashamayim. He didn't commit himself to marry this woman. It sort of happened to him. V'iles lo min harishon takinu lo misheni kadei shelo teikal ben avlotzia. But if the first husband's estate, the deceased brother's estate, does not have any money to pay for the ksuba, then he will have to pay for the ksuba, because we always need a situation where it's lo teikal ben avlotzia. The reason that the chacham or Masakin Ksuba field Ksuba de Rabbanan, or the reason that the Torah requires a Ksuba field Ksuba de Raisa, is to give a little bit of teeth to the marriage, meaning to make divorce difficult. So how do we make divorce difficult? There's going to be a significant financial penalty a significant financial loss in getting divorced. So a person in a fit of rage where he just gets angry one day can't just easily write up a get and just give it to his wife. He's going to have to think twice. Wait a second, this is going to cost me. Calm himself down and feel that there's a bond in the marriage that cannot be easily gotten rid of. Meaning, we say in the Shavuot Brachos that there's a sense in marriage of ahava and achva. What's the difference between ahava and achva? Ahava is something that you choose to do. Achva is something, brotherhood is something you don't choose who your brother is. You got lucky or you don't get lucky. You dealt who you dealt with. And you have your brother. So there should be that sense in the marriage that there's something that binds you to the marriage. It's not just, oh, I chose just like I chose to love, I could choose not to love. That's how you end up with a divorce rate of whatever it is in America, 60% or whatever. But if you have a sense of achva, that there's a sense of commitment, that this is that it's a real relative that you can't just easily get rid of, that's what Chazal had in mind. In fact, Rav Rosenzweig has a beautiful article in one of the Beis Yitzchaks. He wrote on the sugya of Ksuba Dar Reis or Ksuba Dar Rabbanan, that if you go through the Maseches Ksubas, you can find five or six different Gemaras that point out explicit nafkaminas, whether ksuvas d'oraisa or ksuvas d'rabbanan, and you'll find that when the Rambam paskins on many of those issues, he pretty much splits down the middle. Half of them he paskins like the tzad, the ksuvas d'oraisa. Half of them he paskins like the tzad, the ksuvas d'rabbanan. Too many details to get into right now, but the upshot of the whole piece is that the Rambam's understanding is that the concept of shalote kalabein of lotzia is d'oraisa. How we implement Shalotei Kala Ben Avlotzia, it's up to the Rabbanan to make sure that the idea of marriage is that Shalotei Kala Ben Avlotzia. That's a Doraisa concept. That's a concept of marriage in Judaism, that it's got to be Shalotei Kala Ben Avlotzia. How do we get to that? How do we arrive at that? So the Rabbanan thought of this idea called Ksuba to arrive at Shalotei Kala Ben Avlotzia. So the details are Darabanan, but the concept, the notion, is Doraisa. How we get there is Darabanan. Tosfos raises a very fascinating question over here, though. Who pays for this ksuba ultimately? The dead brother is dead. So we say his estate pays for it. Good. Who has the estate right now? So as the estate, the one who did Yibam has the estate. He's the one that receives the whole estate of the dead brother. So saying, oh, the only difference in this and regular marriage is you don't have to pay for the ksuba. The estate of the deceased brother is paying for the ksuba. Yeah, shkoyach, but I have the estate of the deceased brother, right? That's what the Yavam has. And if there's nothing in that estate, who's going to foot the bill? The Yavam anyway is going to pay the bill. So what does this benefit him that it's al baila arishon, that it's on the first baal? Doesn't make a difference who it's on. He's the one that pays it anyway. He's the one that writes the check. So what difference does it make? Frek tells him, Tomer, ma marviach bekach hayavam. How does the yavam benefit from this? Kivin di leslo merishon tekinu l'rabbanu misheni. Since anyway, if the first guy didn't have any money in his estate, the second guy's going to have to pay for it. V'chitei b'shem machar arishon l'chasav tarfam ilukuchos. And if you say that, no, maybe it means that if the first husband had sold his possessions, that she can go, before she goes to her to the yavam to collect her ksuba, she would have to go to the lekuchos, the people who purchased from the first husband, afli sheish b'nei choron l'sheni, even though the second husband, the yavam, has plenty of money, im kein tei kal b'nei v'lotzia, but then it will not have fulfilled the lo tei kal b'nei v'lotzia idea. Then it will be very easy for the yavam to divorce her. No, the yavam will divorce her, and he'll know that since his deceased brother had sold something while had sold properties while he was alive, so she's anyway going to have to collect the ksuba from those guys, so it's going to be no skin off his back. Va'omari says Tosas to Nafkamina, she yachal ayavim limchar sadosav, va'afilu ishtaduf achar kach sadol shal meis lo tarfa mi mishabdi, v'maisu ishto tarefes mehen. The halacha is, if the yavim sells his fields, and then the estate of the deceased brother gets destroyed, the halacha is, she cannot go to the lekuchos who purchased from him. He has that sense of trust with anyone who buys from him, that there's no ksubas isha on his properties. There's no shibud of the ksubas isha on his properties so long as the deceased brother's estate still exists. And now he sells it, and then the deceased brother's estate disappears. Still, she can't go collect from these lekuchos. That's the benefit to the yavim. New mishnah now. Mitzvah with third wide line. Mitzvah begadol yavim. There's a mitzvah for the gadol to do yibum, for the oldest of the brothers to do yibum. Lo ratzu, if he's not interested, mahalchen al kol ha'achin. We go to all of the other brothers. Lo ratzu, they are not interested. Chozrenetzel gadol ve'omrim lo alecha mitzvah o chalotze yivim. We go back to the gadol and we say, listen, it's your mitzvah. Choose chalitza or yibum. You have to do one or the other. Tala b'katan atchi yagdil b'gadol atchi yavim medina siyam o cheresh hashota ein shomen lo. If we say, you know what, there's a 9-year-old brother, why don't we just wait till he becomes bar mitzvah? Maybe he'll do yibum. Or there's the oldest brother is not home. The oldest brother is b'medina siyam. So all the brothers who are here say, we don't want to do chalitza or yibum now. Wait till the oldest brother comes back because he's not here right now. Or they're tala b'cheresh or shota and say maybe wait till they get better or whatever. Ain't shomelo. We don't listen to them. We do it right now. We have to take care of it right away. Alomlo, alecha mitzvah. We say it's your mitzvah. O chalotz ayivim. It's your mitzvah. So you got to do the chalitza or the yibum. That it's his responsibility to do the yibum. We paskin this in Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah begadol liyavim. Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer simukov samach aleph. There's an interesting discussion. The Cheshek Shlomo has something. What if you have two brothers that are born at exactly the same time? And there is no gadol me'achav. He quotes a case of twins that come out simultaneously. That never happens. Twins always come out one before the other. But he says, what if you have a case where the mamish came out at the exact same time, and then a third brother died without any children? So whose mitzvah is it? He says, let's say both of them don't want to do yibum. Can Bezin be kofa one of them to do yibum? Because the whole point is that Bezin goes to the gadol and says, it's your responsibility. We can't force you, brother. You're the gadol. It's your responsibility. What if there is no gadol? We don't know who they're exactly the same. Or do we say that since they're both shava, each one of them could say that let my brother do the yibum, and Bezin can't force either one of them. He also has a suffix. What if they both want to do yibum? Who has the right to do yibum? I mean, normally in the setup, if they both want to do yibum, the gadol gets to do the yibum. So who gets to do the yibum in this case? So he says that what the halacha is, you're matul goral. You have to make a goral, and the one who wins the goral is the one who gets to do the yibum or the chalitza. The Minchas Chinuch points out, the Minchas Chinuch raises a suffix, mitzvah chav gimel, by any mitzvah sase, where there's a suffix, that has a suffix, and you have to do it because of a suffix, what if you don't want to do it? Can Bezin be kof for you to do a mitzvah that's only that you're mechuyev to do, but you're only mechuyev to do midin suffix? And he writes that according to the Rambam, in Yisur Biya Perek Yilches, who holds that suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, is only a din midrabanan, that minat Torah, suffix d'oraisa would really be l'chumra, kula, so then you wouldn't be mechayiv in a mitzvah. The only thing that's mechayiv you in a mitzvah of safek is a chiv drabanan. So it could be we're not kofa in a mitzvah drabanan. We wouldn't be able to force you to do such a mitzvah. And even if you hold safek dar like the Rashba, that safek dar raisa l'chumra is a din dar raisa, we could still say that we're not going to be kofa chatetze nafsho for a safek. Meaning just like safek by we go lekula by safek mamon, maybe we would say that we're not going to be kofa for a situation of safek. But minchaschimich is mitzadeh that if you say like the Rashba that we can force the guy for a safek mitzvah daraisa. There is also machlokas in the achronim. What if you have the two twin brothers that one of them is born before the other one, but the younger one is the gadol first, meaning the case of the 30th day of Adar Rishon and the first day of Adar Beis, that they're twins and one of them has a birthday. The younger one has a birthday on Rosh Chodesh Adar because he was born first of Adar Beis, and the older one has a birthday of the last day of Adar because he was born in Adar Rishon. And then in the year of the Bar Mitzvah, there is only one Adar, so the younger brother becomes Bar Mitzvah before a month before the older brother. Who's the gadol in terms of the mitzvah of Yibum? Do we say mitzvah begadol, meaning the first one to become a gadol is the one who has the mitzvah? Or does it mean no, the older brother? And even though one of them, the younger one becomes a gadol first, but he's still not the older brother. The older brother is the one who is older. In the Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, in Chelek Aleph Siman Tes, and the Binyan Tzion, Siman Kuf Nun, they say that the gadlus hayeled, meaning he says Yibum is only talu in who is born first, even though the godless who becomes a bar mitzvah is tali in whose birthday is first, Yibum is tali in who is born first. But in the Tshuvas Halachos Ketanos Chelek Pesim Kufayin Dalit, he says no, din of Yibum is the same as the din of being a gadol kala tarakula, and whoever is a gadol first, he's the one that's kodem liyibum. Whoever becomes a gadol first. The Bittin Tzion says it's so strange because every single year the one that was born first is the gadol, and his birthday always comes first. It's only Shanamu Beres where there were nichnas the mitzvahs that it's going to be lehepach, or Shana, it's not Shana Muberes, then Nichus Mitzvah is going to be Lehebuch. I mean, it really depends on the year. And even on that month that the Bechor still didn't become a Gadol B'Shanim, he's still the older brother. I mean, even if he didn't become a Gadol B'Shanim, why should it depend on who becomes a Bar Mitzvah first? Bittin Tzion says, very, very strange Shita to suggest that it doesn't depend on who the older brother is. Okay, let's see the Gemara now. So says the Gemara, Itmar, Bias Katan V'Chalitzas Gadol. What if you have the option of a younger brother? Over here, Katan doesn't mean someone under Bar Mitzvah. In the Mishnah, that's what it meant. Over here, Katan means a younger brother. A younger brother who's over Bar Mitzvah is willing to do Yibum, or the oldest brother is willing to do Chalitza. So what's the halacha? One opinion says better to have the younger brother do Yibum. The other one says no, better to have the older brother do Chalitza. The one that says Bias Katan is better is because the primary mitzvah is really to do Yibum. And the one that says that the Chalitza of the older brother, of the oldest brother, is better is because the oldest brother is the one who really has the mitzvah. So whatever the Katan does is irrelevant when you have an oldest brother. So the Gemara tries to bring rayas. We're going to have two rayas to try to show who's correct. Tznan, it's said in our Mishnah, lo ratza, if the oldest brother wasn't interested, machzir nel kalach, and we go to all the other brothers, my love, lo ratza liyavim elalachlitz. Doesn't that mean that when it says he wasn't interested, it means he wasn't interested in doing yibum, but he was willing to do chalitza, v'katani mahal chenetalachin. And still, even though the oldest brother is willing to do chalitza, we're not going to be satisfied with that. We're going to go to the other brothers. Shemamina bias katan. So you see that the yibum of a younger brother must be better than a chalitza of an older brother. That's why when the older brother said, I'm not going to do yibum, I'll only do chalitza, we said, okay, let's consult with the younger brothers. So it says, lo, that's not what it meant. Lo ratza lachlotz v'lo liyavim. When it said lo ratza, it meant that it's lo ratza to do chalitza and also lo ratza to do yibum. The same is true when it comes to the brothers then. When they say, when it says that they are lo ratzu, it also means that they refuse to do both chalitza and yibum. But then why would we go back to the gadol? What does the Mishnah say? That if all the younger brothers also don't want, then we go back to the gadol and say it's on you. Well, why would we go back to the gadol? Mechviya, to force him. Once no one's doing yibum anyway, and all we're going to be able to force is a chalitza, we might as well let the younger brothers do the chalitza, because yibum's not happening anyway. And so Gemara, kivin de mitzvah le didei rami le didei kafinan. No, it's the oldest brother's responsibility, and therefore he's the one that gets forced. But bottom line is, we don't really have a raya from our Mishnah. Mishnah. Tanan, so we move on to the Mishnah, Talabakat, another raya from the Mishnah. The Mishnah went on to say, Talabakat, Anachi Yagdil, Ein Shomen Lo. If they say, wait, we have a Katan, brother, now this, again, the word Katan over here actually means under bar mitzvah, katan, wait till our 9-year-old, 10-year-old brother becomes a gadol, and then we'll see, maybe he'll be willing to do the yibum. So we don't listen to them, we don't do that. Be as katan adifa, but if it's better to have yibum done by a katan than to have chalitza done by a gadol, amayin shomano, why don't we do that? The guy says, why would you want me to do chalitza now? Wait till my younger brother becomes bar mitzvah, he'll probably be happy to do yibum. So why is that? Sounds like a good taina, if it's true that yibum is always better than chalitza, even when done by a younger brother, ninter dilma gadol miyabe. Maybe he'll grow up and he'll want to do yibum. Says the Gemara, ul taimei chia. But according to that logic, o begadol atchiyav medinas yame in shomen lo. Amay ninter dilma alsi v'chalitz. The same thing we say that even if the oldest brother has been medinas yam, we say that we don't wait for him. Why not wait for him? The oldest brother is one that has the mitzvah. Maybe he'll come and he'll do the yibum or chalitza. Asiyav v'chalitz. The change on the side to miyabe. Maybe he'll actually do a yibum when the oldest brother comes back from medinas yam. That's definitely the best thing, to have the oldest brother do a yibum. Yet we still don't wait. Why not? So the reason we don't wait is not because there's anything wrong with the katan doing the yibum. The reason we don't wait is we don't delay mitzvahs. Whenever you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, we're supposed to take care of that opportunity as quickly as possible. So the Gilyan Marsha says from here that in other achronim also, that even if apparently we see from this Gemara that even if waiting will allow you to do a mitzvah min a muvchar, will allow you to do the mitzvah on a higher level, you still don't wait. Because what's happening over here? If we do it right now, someone's going to do a chalitza. If you wait for the oldest brother, then first of all, it will be the oldest brother. Second of all, he might even do a yibum. So definitely you're going to get the mitzvah min amufchar. We have a much better chance at the mitzvah min amufchar by waiting. And still we say shuyim mitzvah lo mashinan. We don't delay in doing a mitzvah, even for the sake of a mitzvah min amufchar. The Ramah paskins in Archaim Simon Chafei, that even though the halacha is a person is supposed to put on tzitzis before they put on tefillin, if he has tefillin and he doesn't have tzitzis yet available to him, he does not have to wait for the tzitzis. He puts on tefillin right away, and then when he gets his tzitzis later, he gets a talis later, he'll put on the talis. Magen Avraham says, where do we learn that from? We learn it from Yavam, Staf Lama Tesla Med Aleph, that we shuyu mitzvah lo mashinan. And even if you're going to be able to do minamuvchar later on, it's minamuvchar to put on tefillin after you're already wearing tzitzis. Yeah, but you have tefillin right now. If you have tefillin right now, you put them on. We don't say that that mitzvah minamuvchar wins. We say shuyu mitzvah lo mashinan wins. The Mishnah Berurah points out, it's Sifkat Nazayin, that the same is true with Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, where we always say Tadir Kodem, not at the expense of Shiyu Mitzvah L'Mashinan, meaning if the Eino Tadir is what you have right now, and the Tadir is something that you don't have available to you at this moment, you do the Eino Tadir first. We cannot delay in doing mitzvahs. There's a discussion, the Shavuos Yaakov has a discussion in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Daled, what if on the Yontif of Sukkot, at the time of Halal, someone was given an Esrog and a Lulav, all the Dalad Minim, and he knows that he's going to be getting a much nicer Esrog later on. So is it okay to not take the Esrog now because he wants to do the mitzvah behidr later on? Should we say Zriz Magdimin, Meshuy Mitzvah Lo Mashinan? Or should we say, no, let him wait to do the Hidr Mitzvah? So he says, if he wants to push off to be Mekayim Mitzvah Min Amufchar Mamish when he has an Esrog Na'a or Shemen Zayis L'Ner Chanukah, he's allowed to wait. Better to do the mitzvah later behidur than to do it now. So it seems to fly directly against everything we're saying, that against our Gemara, against what the Machzor Shekel says, against what the Magen Avraham says, against what everybody's saying in terms of the relationship between hidur mitzvah versus shiyui mitzvah. So the Shavuos Yaakov says, yeah, that which we say shiyui mitzvah lo mashinan, that's only that if you in a situation where if you do the mitzvah without shiyui, it's not going to be it's a giraun be'etzem ha-mitzvah. It's only going to be that you did it in the wrong order. Meaning, by the case of talis and tefillin, there's nothing wrong with putting on tefillin without a talis. It's just that there is a seder ha-devarim that talis is supposed to come before tefillin. Tadr v'sheino tadr, the Mishnah Berurah spoke about. There's nothing wrong with the mitzvah that's eino tadr that's being done. It's just that in terms of the seder ha-devarim, the tadr is supposed to come first. So that, we're going to say that better not to delay and to do the mitzvah right now. But when you're it's going to be chisaron in the mitzvah you're doing right now, then it's better to wait to do the mitzvah properly. What about our Gemara? It says our Gemara is a different story. Our Gemara is anytime you delay something like this, there's always the concern that it might not happen. Whenever that's a legitimate concern, that it may never happen by delaying it, well, then that's going to be trouble, especially when you're dealing with a woman who's awaiting chalitza or yibum, because if that never happens, she's stuck being an aguna. So when it comes to that, that's what we're going to say in our Gemara, but it's not a raya to everywhere else. It says normally we would say that better to wait a little bit and do the mitzvah behidr. Some bring a raya from the Chuvasar Advaz. There's a famous Chuvasar Advaz where the Advaz was asked about someone who's chavish beis hasurim. A person was stuck in jail. And he was never allowed out, but he begged and begged and begged, and the warden said, I'll give you one day in the whole year, you could pick one day in the whole year, they can get out and go daven with a minyan. So he didn't know which day he should be let out of jail, he should take his free day to go. Should he do Yom Kippur or Purim, where there's a mitzvah of Barovam or whatever, and of Kriyas HaMegillah, or should he just do the next day, whenever he can, the very next day? So the Radvaz writes that he should be mispal b'yom arish. First day you can get out because ain't mavir nala mitzvos. So some say, you see from there, that Zrizim Akzim in the mitzvos beats out doing a mitzvah behidr. That even though it may be a better mitzvah of Tzilu B'tzibur to do it on a day where something really important is going on, but no, you do the first possible opportunity. So it could be that that's a similar machlokas. Although a lot of these discussions, you find a lot of confusion between different similar concepts. Shihui mitzvah lo mashinan, Zrizim Makdim in the mitzvahs, mitzvah bal yado yach mitzana, all these different concepts, they all sound the same. They all sound like they're just saying, don't wait, do the mitzvah as early as possible. Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asherim Bereishis has a whole essay where he tries to show that you do find that Rishonim and Achronim all the time confuse those ideas, but in Chazal, they very clearly mean distinct things. They each have a distinct meaning to them. Okay, can't get into it right now though. So the Gemara says Vaita now. Ista Amri, others have a different version of the whole discussion over here. That Bia Kuliyam Lo Pligi Dibias Katan Adifa. When it comes to Bia, everyone would hold that a Bias Katan is a that it's better for Yibum to be done by a younger brother than for Chalitza to be done by an older brother. Yibum is always best. Ki pligi b'chalitzas katan. Now the whole machlokas is, if Chalitza is going to be done anyway, v'hachi yizmar, this is the way machlokas was said, Chalitzas katan v'chalitzas gadol, what if the option is, have the oldest brother do Chalitza or have one of the younger brothers do Chalitza? Do we then still care that it be the older brother? Does it really matter which brother, once it's not going to be Yibum anyway? Pligi b'Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shmuel Levi, chadamar Chalitzas gadol, difav chadamar ki yadadi nenu. One opinion holds the Chalitzas gadol is better, the other one says, no, they're exactly the same. The one that says Chalitza's Gadol wins out is because the real mitzvah is on the Gadol, so let him do the Chalitza. And the other opinion says, no. When do we say mitzvah begadol? That's a din in Yibum. But if anyway, all you're doing is Chalitza, so then they're exactly the same. You wouldn't say the mitzvah begadol. The Gemara says, let's try to bring rayas. Tanan, it said in our Mishnah, lo ratzu chos mitzvah begadol, that if none of the younger brothers were interested, we go back to the Gadol. My love, lo ratzu liyabe melalachlots. Doesn't it mean that none of the younger brothers were interested in doing Yibum, but they were interested in doing Chalitza, and still we go back, v'katani chos mitzvah begadol, still we go back to the Gadol, v'shema mina chalitzas gadol adifa. So you see, when all of the brothers say, we will not do Yibum, but we're all more than happy to do Chalitza, still we go back to the oldest brother and say, it's your job to do the Chalitza. Says Gemara, lo, that's not what at all what's going on in the Mishnah. Lo ratzu lo lachlots v'lo liyavim. When we say that the younger brothers aren't interested, it doesn't mean they're not interested in doing Yibum, but are willing to do Chalitza. No, they're not interested in doing Yibum, nor are they interested in doing Chalitza. That's when we go back to the Gadol. But if the younger brothers are interested in the Chalitza, they're Yerachinami. We don't care who does the Chalitza. Let anyone do the Chalitza. They have a say Gabi Gadol, but wait a second. That same phrase that we said by a Gadol, we said, lo ratza, it must mean lo lachlots velo liyavim, that he's not interested in doing anything, because the phrase must mean the same thing in both contexts. We said that the gadol is lo ratza, and that the other brothers are lo ratza. So if you want to say that when lo ratza is used in terms of the other brothers, it means they don't want to do anything, it must mean the same thing when it comes to the gadol. But if that's the case, alamai chos meitzel gadol, lemichvia, why would we go back to the gadol to force him to do the chalitza? Lichvia l'detul, let's force the ketanim already to do the chalitza. Why bother the Beis Din? Why burden the Beis Din to have to? They already have the ketanim in front of them. The ketanim already said the same thing that the gadol said. Not interested. Don't want to do yibum or chalitza. So we're going to have to force the chalitza. Why don't we just force the chalitza right here, right now, and the ketanim that are here? Why do we have to be matriach the Beis Din? As the Gemara, keeping the mitzvah, lady de ramya with the two kaifinan. Since it's the gadol's mitzvah, so we force the Beis Din for that purpose. So you see, the yisod of the mitzvah of yibum is really on the oldest brother, and if he doesn't want, then it's going to be chal on the younger brothers. It's only if they don't want that the chiyuv goes back to the older brothers. There's a discussion in the Achronim whether the kedimas hagadol is miguf mitzvahs yibum or it's an anaf mea mitzvah. Is that part of the very fundamental nature of the mitzvah of yibum, or it's just an extra detail, an extra hidur in the mitzvah? In the binas adam in Shari Sivahet Kal Zayin Osiyud, he raises a suffix: if a shochet can make a shliach to do kisei adam, or to be mechabit someone else to do the kisei adam, or do we say no? You shouldn't be mechabit someone else. It's a mitzvah that's mutalas alav. It's your mitzvah. Or let's say if a father knows how to do a bris mila, can he make a shliach to do the bris mila, or do we say no? It's your mitzvah. So he says this is already a discussion between the crazy place for sure about mila. The Rama quotes from the Arzarua that a father cannot make a shliach to do the mila when he knows how to do the mila himself, and Dr. Moshe says, why not? Why can't you do a shliach like any other mitzvah? So it's for sure brings a raya from this sugya that you can make a shliach to do a mitzvah in your place, because the mitzvah is begadol yabim. Yet, so you see, it's alei didei ramya. It's his mitzvah, and yet we see that if one of the other brothers are willing to do it, we have no problem with that. If the gadol's not willing to do it, one of the other brothers is willing to do it, that's okay. So apparently, you are allowed to make a shliach even when it's alei didei ramya, even when it is your mitzvah. Tzvor Shar says it should be no different by Mila. That even if you're capable of doing a bris Mila for your own child, but you can make a shliach and have someone else do the bris Mila for your own child. I think Rav Moshe has such a tshuva where someone had just learned how to do Mila and they wanted to do Mila on their own child. And his wife said, I am not letting you touch this child. No way, no how. They want to hire an experienced Moel. So he said, well, it's Aleidi De Rami. It's my mitzvah. So I think Rav Moshe said, for this, you could rely on the Tzvor Shar and make a shliach and do the Mila, make the wife happy. Tashma. We have another raya. Tala begadol ad sheyav medinas hayam ein shomalav. They say, let's wait for the gadol to get back from medinas hayam. We don't listen. V'yisal d'vayt chalitzas gadol adifa. But if even a chalitza of a gadol is better, amay ein shomalav ninter dilmasi v'chalitz, then why don't we wait for him? Let him come back and maybe he'll do the chalitza. Ultamech bekatan ad sheyagdol ein shomalav. No, but how do you read the other line where it says that we don't listen to wait even for the katan to become a gadol? Amay ninter dimel gadol miyabin. Maybe he'll become a gadol and he'll want to do yibum. Ela kol sheyav mitzvah lashina. No, it's like we said before, that we don't delay a mitzvah. Tananasam, mitzvah is a new discussion. Mitzvah is yibum kodem is the mitzvah's chalitza. Yibum is better than chalitza. Barishon Hashem is kavan Hashem mitzvah. That was true when everyone had the right kavanas when they would do yibum. Achshav Hashem is kavan Hashem mitzvah. Amru mitzvah's chalitza kodem is the mitzvah's yibum. But now that people are no longer having kavan Hashem mitzvah, it's better to do chalitza than to do yibum. Amar Rav ein kofin. But Rav says we don't force them to do chalitza. If both the man and the woman are interested in doing yibum and they say that they're doing l'shem mitzvah, that's fine, we allow that. When people would come to Rav, he would tell them, he would lay out the options for them. He would say, you have the option of doing chalitza, you have the option of doing yibum, the Torah leaves it up to you, it's in the balls in your court. It says if he doesn't want to. Sounds like if he does want to, it's up to his want, whatever he wants. He could do chalitza or yibum. Rabbi Yehuda also holds we don't force one way or the other. How do I know that we don't force from the fact, from the lashon that Rabbi Yehuda was misaken in the shtar that Bezin would write to describe a chalitza, where they would give her a shtar that verified that she had a chalitza, the shtar would say as follows: Ech plonis bas ploni how this woman brought this man, her yavam, to the Beis Din, and we found out, we verified that she is, that this man is her deceased husband's brother from his father's side, and we said to this man, here's the the key line. If you want to do Yibum, do Yibum. So you see right there that in that Lashon, they give the option of doing Yibum. V'lo itzla raglach diyamina. If you don't want to do Yibum, stick out your right foot. V'itzla raglach diyamina v'shar sinim al raglowi. And he stuck out his right foot and we took the shoe and she took the shoe off of the foot. V'yarakis banvo, he roke at meschazi l'bedin alara. And she spit saliva that the Bezin was able to see on the ground. Meaning they describe what happens at the Chalitza. Rebuchia Baravi, Messiah, Mamashmed Rav Yehuda, and Rebuchia Baravi added to the Shtar, Vakrinim Adduksib, Besefer Raisa Demoshe. We also had them read the Psukim of, that it says in the Parsha of Chalitza. So, but bottom line is, you see that they give the option, because the part of the Shtar, it says that they give the option. Now, Ashtumadinu, when we said that in that Shtar, that we know, it became clear to us, that this man is in fact the Yavam, that he's in fact the brother of the deceased husband. So how do we know it? Meaning, how much evidence do we need to believe that this man is the Yavam? Pligi be Rav Acha v'Ravina. It's machlokes Rav Acha v'Ravina. Chad amar be'edim, v'chad amar afilu karov afilu isha. One opinion says you need kasher e'edim to verify that. The other one says, nah, even a karov, even an isha is good enough to verify it. Vilsa gluya milsa ba'almuhu v'afilu karov afilu isha. We paskin that it's only a gili milsa, it's not real edus, and therefore even a karov, even an isha would suffice for that kind of edus. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots. Tomorrow we're going to really get into when someone does yibum shalol l'shem mitzvah, what the status is.